Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. And I just want to start by saying hello to Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Dave Stoop.
Hello.
Hello, Steve.
It's good to be together.
Yes, it is, even though it's the end of a great thing. February.
It's been a good month.
Last day of February, and I want to tell you what's going to happen in March. A great movie is coming out, and it's called I Can Only Imagine. Some of you know that song, I Can Only Imagine.
And great song.
It turns out, I didn't know this till I got involved with the movie, but it is the most downloaded, ordered, played song of all time. Did not know that.
I know. I didn't know that.
It's a beautiful song. It's a fantastic song. So it's all the movie, and many of you know that I've been criticized for criticizing Christian movies. Well, this movie is amazing. Dennis Quaid, Chet Atkins. Anyway, I'll figure out the star's name. But anyway, there's some great Cloris Leachman, great stars in this. Tell the story of how this song was made. And, you know, somebody plays the part of Amy Grant and all this stuff. But it's about an abusive father who turns his life around. And at the end of the movie, our 800 number comes up on the screen for people to get in touch with us if this brings up some issues that they might have with their father. That's why we believe in this movie. And we want you to go see it and take people
to it. Well, Trace Atkins is in the movie.
Trace Atkins, not Chet Atkins.
Right,
I usually refer to Chet Atkins because of the Atkins diet that I was on where you just you pick at your food. That was the Chet Atkins diet.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay,
but you will love this movie. Yeah, I just have to say anybody with father wounds bring a lot of Kleenex, but it's phenomenal. You have to go.
Yeah, it is. We've seen it. We're behind it. We support it because our 800 number is there as a resource for folks at the end of it. But if you've seen, you know, there are just some great Christian movies out there, and there's some that, you know, you kind of great message, but you're a little bit embarrassed by them. You could ask anybody to go to this, and they'll be glad they went. I guarantee you. You could ask the most devout atheist, and I think they would love this movie because the acting is so real. And the message is so profound. So take people. Go. Encourage your church to go see it. It really is a very, very powerful, powerful movie. Now, I'm going to go right to the calls here, and let's just pull up Mary, who's calling us all the way from Montgomery, Alabama. Been holding on. Sirius XM. Hi, Mary. How you doing? How can we help you today?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. I'm going to ask my question first, and then I kind of typed up a little summary just so I could try to read it really quickly to you so I don't forget to say something.
Okay.
My question is, I'm a Christian woman, you know, and I want to be a godly woman, and I want to honor God in the way that I handle my marriage. My husband and I have been married for over 28 years. We have two grown kids. You know, and one that's still in college. Over 4 years ago, my husband said, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And he said God would want me to be happy and that he didn't want to work on the marriage. Of course, I begged and cried and pleaded that he didn't leave. And I know that's the wrong way to handle that, but that's what I did at the time. He said that he wanted to wait until after the holidays that year to decide what he wanted to do. Beginning of 2014, he said he wanted to, quote, work on himself. I haven't been able to find any proof of an affair or porn since then, and I've looked. He has wavered back and forth several times over the last 4 years.
Hold on. We'll help you after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay. We are back talking to Mary. And so, Mary, you were going to ask us a question, and I don't think we know what the question is.
Okay. Well, my question, I was still kind of going over what my history was with him. My husband and I have been married for over 28 years, and he's given me that I love you, but I'm not in love with you, over 4 years ago. Wavered back and forth. Haven't found any proof of an affair or porn or anything like that.
Right.
From what I can tell, I don't think I have biblical grounds for divorce. The only proof of deception that I found was a year ago, I found that he had stashed away $30,000 in a secret savings account. Mm-hmm. I found that by accident, and I insisted that he add my name to that. We have two grown kids, one in college. And about a year ago when I found the account, he told me that he had been lying to me for 2 years, that he was not feeling better about our marriage and still didn't want to work on anything.
Okay.
And at that point I told him that I can't handle being lied to and that he had to move out of the bedroom. So we've been in separate bedrooms for a year.
So the question for us would be what?
Is it time to give him an ultimatum, to make more boundaries? Obviously, he's very comfortable with the way things are.
Yeah.
And, it's been over 4 years.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's let Dave get us started here. What do you think, Dave? He's the author of Smart Love. What's the smart thing for her to do?
Well, I think you have to up the ante, Mary. You have to make it less comfortable for him. And that may be that you decide that he needs to move out or you need to move out or something that brings it to a head, not for the purpose of divorce, but something that brings reality to it. There's got to be something going on with him. And you're right, it may not be pornography or an affair. It may simply be so much into his
selfishness?
Selfishness? Selfishness, his own depression or something that he's not dealing with. And I almost do a double take when somebody says I'm in love, but I love you, but I'm not in love. And
I know that normally means affair. I know that.
Well, my automatic response is to ask the question, when did you decide to stop loving that way?
Right.
Because it's a decision that was made to stop loving. And usually there's some kind of distraction for it. It may be an emotional affair. It may be maybe just so much into himself and making money. Who knows what it is? But you've got to raise the price for him to stay, make him uncomfortable, and that means you call him on something and say it's time for you to move out or it's time for me to move out.
Well, and also when I hear this, this is like he has made a decision to change kind of the rules of your relationship without consulting you. Mm-hmm. So just like he got this bank account going on the side without telling you, he's done the same thing with your marriage and putting you in that position to say, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. So basically, or really to not work on the marriage. Like he's saying, no, I'm not going to work on it. And so he's choosing a different type of lifestyle, which is just one of resigning yourself to a rather loveless marriage. And that's really not okay. And so, Dave, what you were saying about when did he make a choice to not invest in the marriage?
It was more than 4 years ago.
Well, right, because marriage goes through times like that where mm-hmm. you love someone but you don't feel in love with them. And you work on it. You guys talk about things. Steve, you've written the Mediterranean Love Plan. It's all about cultivating that emotional connection and those, you know, that love that one committed to. So,
and we've seen so many people turn around situations worse than this, you know, where it's not just a matter of they're not in love or whatever. Mm-hmm. They hate each other. You know, our last intensive we did, the weekend for marriages, there was a restraining order on this couple. And they left different mm-hmm. people. So I think it's time to say to him, it's not working for me. So I think we need to look at what our options are. Mm-hmm. Let's go to a marriage weekend. Let's get some marriage counseling. Let's get a divorce. You pick what it is.
But it's no longer.
What do I do about the fact that I don't have biblical grounds for a divorce?
Well, he's de-invested in the marriage.
You don't worry about that because you're simply saying we got to mm-hmm. take action. And you may find out that you do have biblical grounds because it's not
Here's
just
what I would say.
An affair.
Here's what I would say to him. I would say, let's either get, let's go to this weekend thing, or let's get marriage counseling, or let's face the fact that you have divorced me. You divorced me. We're not married. We live in the same house. We're not married. We're in different bedrooms. You divorced me. You abandoned me emotionally, mm-hmm. spiritually. Mm-hmm. Now, either do these other two things, or let's fill out the paperwork, and let's suffer the consequences of what you've already done. You didn't have grounds to divorce me, but you did. Now, either let's get married here and be married, or you go with me and let's get the paperwork done, because you've divorced me, you've abandoned me, you've left me alone here, stranded mm-hmm. in my own yeah. house, and you don't have to suffer any consequences for it. You're happy and comfortable. I don't think that's honoring of God one bit. You see the difference here between you know, just saying, okay, I'm going to divorce you. He divorced you already, and that's the situation we see so often.
And I've been very patient.
Well, yes.
Yeah. More than patient.
And so now you're not going to enable the evil that is existing in an undeclared divorce that he has initiated and he's lived in. And there are mm-hmm. people listening to me, they hate to hear this because they've done the same thing and they want to believe that they haven't divorced their spouse. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. All right. I'm glad you mm-hmm. called. I'm glad that we could help you. I'm going to send you a copy of Smart Love. I hope that could be helpful for you. And man, really feel for what you're having to go through. Let's go down here to Fanny from Washington, D.C., WAVA. Hi, how you doing?
Hi. Oh, finally. I'm so happy to finally have you. And what you just said to this past caller, it's so true. But in my situation, my question is, how do you move on quickly? I'm a Christian woman. I don't want to go crazy and do all those ungodly stuff because mm-hmm, of loneliness. Sure. I just need a little booster to move on quickly because, yes, I did not want to enable, what do you say again? Evil?
Evil. Mm-hmm. Don't want to enable evil. Yeah.
Yeah, because of an abusive husband, verbally and physically. I recently filed for divorce to kind of, you know, to shake him for him to realize that what he was doing was wrong, but apparently that doesn't even touch him. That doesn't shake him at all. He's comfortable
physically,
with that. fine.
He's physically abusive? He's been physically abusive. Yeah. And is he a believer or not? Is he a believer or not?
I thought he was when he told me everything that I wanted to hear. We got married, and then soon after I realized that, no, he's not. I didn't know him that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay.
Are you still married?
Let's start with Jill here.
Are you still?
Yeah, still married. I filed for divorce, yes.
You filed for divorce. Okay.
Yes, I filed for divorce because... What you just said, you said also earlier to a caller, mm-hmm. is something somewhere like he's provoking and then being surprised that after insulting me all day long, at night, suddenly I will be darling and expect to have some loving. After taunting me, provoking, I will be really pushing my button, really, really a bully, you know, really being abusive.
Okay.
And
so he's abusive, but are you still in the same household or are you separated?
No.
You're separated. So you're asking about how to move on quickly, and I'm wondering why the emphasis on quickly, because these things do take time.
I'm just tired of being lonely. I'm a Christian woman. I see all the happy couple and Valentine's Day and stuff. I'm like, oh, if I was not a Christian, I could just go ahead and do all those kinds of
Right. You know, Fanny, when you've been enduring a really difficult and loveless or abusive situation, it's natural to want to have those needs met and to find someone and to be in a situation that feels whole again.
Mm-hmm.
But I would caution you on the quickly part. I think the steps in between that is that you need to first get into a loving community, first of other women, to have a support group of other women, to be in a church where you feel supported, and to have a community around you that, while it's not the same, it doesn't meet the same needs as romantic love, it's a really important foundational step for moving on and not re-choosing an abusive partner.
Well, and if you do it quickly, chances are you're going to repeat the pattern.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll be different on the surface, but it'll be the same underneath. So you need to take some time to understand what got you into that situation and what's going to keep you out of getting into that situation again.
And to do whatever it takes to do the right thing, and also to do the thing that builds on your life. And, you know, here's something that's kind of painful, and I want to say it correctly, but if you're enabling someone to abuse you, and then, boom, all of a sudden you divorce them, well, it's almost like you've said, oh, this is okay, and then now it's not okay, but you've kind of trained them that it's okay. So you really do have to give them an opportunity to respond to it not being okay. And that means you don't give them the benefits of the marriage, but you also don't just quickly, as Dave and Jill are saying, walk out of it. You've got to take your time. Oh, my goodness. The suffering that goes on, the trouble that we get ourselves into, it's pretty
right.
rough.
But I do think, just to reiterate, the quickly part will be limiting the contact with him, only having contact in writing, and upping your contact with supportive, loving women in your life.
Yeah.
That will be the fastest way to the best result.
We say it all the time, and the way you stay in these relationships is not have that support. The way you get in those relationships is not have this support. And the way to know what to do is to get the support of other women around you. Let's go to Angela from Cleveland, Ohio. She listens online. Hi, Angela. Welcome to New Life. How can we help you?
Hi, thank you.
Sure.
Gosh, I don't even know where to start. I guess my biggest problem now, although I've really learned a lot from listening to your other callers, they brought up things that I would have asked questions about, but now I have some answers. About 44 or 45 years ago, it was about in the early 70s, I had an abortion, and the man that I was dating, well, he wasn't really a man. We were out of college, but we'd been dating since we were 16, and had always talked about, you know, when we get married and blah, blah, blah. And he turned out to be very manipulative and a liar, and I was from a pretty abusive home with parents that I was just completely in terror of. And I finally thought when I met him, you know, that I finally found somebody who loved me. And that's how I looked at it. And I was, those were some of the happiest years of my life because I wasn't terrified.
Yeah.
And I actually felt like I had some worth, worthiness.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I wasn't like the stupid, ugly person that my mother would tell me I was, or...
Well, and manipulation probably felt better than abuse, so you didn't probably recognize it as such.
Right. I didn't really recognize it until later on, like years later, when people would hint to me that he was, like, cheating on me and stuff, and I just, I always forgave him. It was always, he always had some story, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so,
anyway,
so let's get back to 45 years ago.
Okay, so when I found out that I was pregnant, and you're screener, and you are the only people I've ever told this story to. I've been, like, holding it in all this time.
Wow.
And I have suffered with depression for about as long as I can remember, from, like, teenage years. Anyway, I did run into him at his sister's funeral, and we had a few minutes to talk, you know, off on our own. And I did say to him that I was still really troubled by that, and he actually laughed at me and said, "Oh, I forgot all about that."
Oh, wow.
And then just changed the subject. It was so cruel. And
okay. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions here in just a minute.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Angela. Angela, I want to ask you a question. Are you still there?
Yes.
How did you decide to have this abortion? What were the circumstances there?
The circumstances were that I was terrified of my parents.
Right.
I was raised Catholic, and It was just around the time in the very early 70s when there was talk about abortion, but there wasn't like a big explanation or pictures or films or I didn't really know anything about it other than thinking it was a way of getting rid of my problem.
Okay,
it was a selfish way to think. But
Did you tell this guy you were pregnant?
Oh yeah.
And what did he say?
Yeah. He said he could take care of it. His brother was a doctor, and his brother knew doctors all over the place. So we drove to New York because that's, I guess, one place you could go at that time. 72.
He had it all figured out.
So when you went to him, had you already decided that that's just what you were going to do? Or he's the one that said, oh, you know, here, let's just take care of it?
He's the one that decided. I was I was completely like a deer in the headlights.
Yes,
and I just,
okay.
I was,
so let,
I was
let me tell you.
Scared and,
Let me tell you what I think.
Okay.
I think that given what you've said about him, I think that you didn't have an abortion 16 when you were 16 or 45 years ago or whatever. I think you're one of these people that had an abortion done to you. And I think there's a big difference here. Now, whether you had the abortion because you decided from the very beginning, I'm going to do this, or it was something that really was kind of pressured, put on you.
I was pressured. He wouldn't, he wouldn't get married.
Okay,
even
so
we
see.
We talked about getting married since we were 16.
You were 16, and you didn't have parents that you could go and talk to. And,
I never had.
No.
I was raised by the nuns at my Catholic convent school.
So you didn't have people. You just had him, and he pressured you, and you had this abortion done at 16, and you felt guilt and shame over it.
No, I was older than that. I was in my early 20s.
Okay, early 20s.
And I had been with him for 7 or 8 years at that point.
Okay, so then it would be likely, you know, you'd think you get pregnant, he'd say, well, let's get married. But no, he goes, we're going to take care of this. And
that's what I expected.
All right, so I'm just going to say this. No matter the circumstances, God's grace extends to every person. You didn't out-sin God's grace when you chose that abortion. I'm a man that pressured someone to have an abortion, so I know what this is all about. I know what I did. I know what I was guilty of, and I know that God didn't give up on me, and I know that God didn't expect me to feel guilt and shame for the rest of my life over it. Satan wanted me to feel.
This guy feels nothing.
Well, that's horrible.
Laughed in my face.
And that's horrible,
that bothered me.
Yeah, but that's what narcissists do. That's what narcissists do. That's what
narcissist father. I had a narcissist boyfriend, and now I have a narcissist husband. Years later, but I guess because my dad was that way, and I was always afraid of my dad, I just did what I was told because I was scared not to, and I was afraid I would lose this guy. And as I said, I thought this is the only person who had ever loved me. Aww. And then what would I do if he left me? Mm-hmm. Well, he wound up leaving me anyway. And
okay, so is there a question you want us to deal with for you specifically?
I mean, I hate just even being alive anymore. I just feel like I deserve it.
No. No, you don't. But that's what Satan has used against you. That's, you know, Jesus says that I will remember your sins no more. He says, I will literally wipe your sins away. I will make you and your past as white as snow. That's what Jesus wants for you. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to set you free. Satan is the one that loves to kill and destroy, rob, steal. And Satan has, and Jesus has come to give you life so you'd have it more abundantly. So what's happened is Satan has used this thing that was done to you, you were pressured into, and it is not too late for you to be free of that. And you took a big step today by telling the call screener and now letting us talk to you. I believe that God is so grieved, not over the abortion, but over the fact that Satan has used this to condemn you and to keep you in bondage. And God's taking care of that baby. That baby is with the Lord. But you have felt enough sorrow and sadness, and it's time for you to be free. I'm going to encourage you, and I want you to hold on. I want to get you into a women's resource center that has an abortion recovery program for you to go through. I want to send you Healing is a Choice. And I want to tell you, I ask you to forgive me. That guy will never ask you for forgiveness. I ask you, forgive me for pressuring someone to do this, just like you were pressured. And I hope that this is going to be the beginning of a healing experience for you. There's no value in shame, but there's great value in experiencing the love and the grace and the forgiveness that Jesus Christ has for you. And that's what I want for you. You hold on, and we'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Oh, I tell you, it's rough. Very, very tough. And I hope and pray that something we said to Angela is going
to... I just want to add another piece, Steve.
And then I want to add another piece.
For Angela. Okay. Because Angela, I mean, and Steve, everything you said, I think, was... really right on, Angela, for you. But I think there's a complication added to your guilt and your grief over having had this abortion, is that what I heard you say, Angela, is there has not been one man in your life that has really validated you. And this guy laughing at you must have felt devastating. Here, you know, maybe thinking the one person that you could connect with on this issue that might have a little remorse years later, not only did he have no response, he laughed at you. And I heard you say that you're also in a marriage with a narcissist. So that tells me that throughout your life, you have had very little validation or containing of your feelings. And if anything, you've been the receptacle of all of these people's unwanted feelings and ugly parts of themselves. And that's really difficult. And I think that contributes to your level of depression. And so we want to give you some resources and get you connected so that you can have some hope and you can be with some healthier people that will actually have a different kind of reaction to you.
And one of the ways that you can do that is what I recommend to women in your situation is that you volunteer at a crisis pregnancy center for a while and tell your story, because you will get validated and you will see miracles take place because of your story. And it's like a redemptive role for the pain that you've been through.
All right. I hope and pray that something there is helpful. Oh, my goodness. Pray for her. Pray for healing, that she would experience God's grace. And speaking of grace, sometimes Larry has grace for the mistakes that I make, sometimes not. But Larry, welcome to the studio here. Tell us about New Life, the need for people to step up here on the last day of
the
February.
Last day of the month. We were coming down to the wire. We really need support. If you can make a gift online, that's what we need today. But what I was thinking about listening to this call in my office was the phrase, where else? Where else can the Angelas of the world, you know, someone who's lived for 45 years with the pain of depression and the guilt and the shame mm-hmm. and the struggling through all that, where else can they call and share that and get some good godly counsel and some direction and some help and some hope? And where else can somebody who we recently received a letter from go to and share the pain and the hurt that they've had, and that New Life has been the ones to give them the tools mm-hmm. to prevent depression and to deal with tough life situations and use them redemptively as they go forward? And where else can you learn that no matter what you've done, there is hope and there's healing and there's redemption right. possible? I mean, I don't know another ministry that does what we do day in and day out, weekend in and weekend out, year in and year out, 30 years. So that's why we ask for your support. And if you can give $1 a day, $30 a month, and commit to that, we have a place for you. It's called Club New Life. And if you join that, it will make the difference. We need to get thousands of people to join that. You could be one of those thousands. And that would make a difference. That would keep me from having to be here talking about and asking you for help every day. Mm-hmm. And I'll come in and talk
so
about
help
something
us keep
else.
Larry off the air?
Yeah,
is that
right.
what you're saying?
There you go.
Well, but maybe they like you on the air.
Yeah.
I'll come talk about anything
okay.
else.
Okay.
So
okay.
I promise to still
yeah.
come.
Yeah. But we need
well,
your help.
We really do. And it is year end and month end. And anybody that can help us, just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can also go online, newlife.com. But the whole purpose of this ministry is God's true truth. And so often people get a portion of that truth or a misinterpretation of that truth. And we want you to have the true truth. And when you combine God's truth in redemptive relationship, transformation occurs. Help us if you can. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can give online right here the last day of the month, newlife.com. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate that a lot. All right. Well, how about we talk with Susan, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. She listens on Sirius XM. Glad she does. Hi, Susan. How are you?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. How could we help?
I have a question. What is the biblical way, the godly way, to deal with a husband who's going through a very severe midlife crisis?
Well, what's that look like? What's he doing in his crisis?
Well, he's very emotionally detached from me. He's saying things like he's never been happy in our 31-year marriage. He's buying new clothes, exercising like crazy, hanging around with our 25-year-old son's friends, and really it excites him to hang around with those that age group. We don't really do a lot together because he's just not interested in doing things with me. Does that give you some idea?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to put you on hold because you got a little crackling there in the phones there. But how about we get started with you, Dave, a guy going through midlife crisis. I mean, it looks like to me he's kind of sowing some wild oats there mm-hmm. in
well,
his
afraid of
midlifeness.
Getting old.
In spite of his appearances, it's a crisis of meaning, mm-hmm. and he's trying to get young all of a sudden because he's missed the mark. And if you can get him to talk about what he would like to do, what he would love to do in the future, does he want to change jobs, careers, just kind of keep it away from family, but talk about What is he evaluating? What is he weighing? And get him to talk. That brings him into reality. He's in a fantasy world that he's going to be 25 years old again if he changes his clothes and gets a different kind of car and all that kind of stuff. You just don't want to get him to the place where he wants a different family, because then he does really stupid things.
Right, right. But you also want to be aware that some of that could already be percolating. Because someone who makes dramatic changes and is completely changing their image often is doing it to impress others.
And to pretend that they're getting young instead of
right.
old.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think there is this thing that we talk about frequently. We say boundaries, but there's also a thing called limits. So how does she communicate to him, I can't just let you run free here. We got to have some limits here on what's okay and what isn't. How does she do that?
Well, I think reality is a part of it, because if he wants to marry some young chick, you know, he's got to realize that half of his assets disappear and that you're not going to allow that kind of thing to happen without consequences. And just be honest with him. Don't be afraid to bring up subjects like that, because you want to confront him with reality, because he's toying with a fantasy world. And the key...
Right, but then she might be seen as critical and a joy kill.
Well, yeah, that's all right, because he's disillusioned with life. He's come to a point in life where he evaluates and he's disillusioned with it. It's not what he thought it was going to be, and you want him to become disenchanted to kind of get the scales off of his eyes and begin
right.
to see
reality.
Right.
So maybe I see that you're making a lot of changes. Help me understand how this fits in with our life, because as you're making these changes, I'm afraid you're going to change me out as well.
Yeah.
I would like to join you in your new adventures, not be something that you toss aside. So how can we, since we vowed to go through this life together, for better or worse, how can we join forces to meet some of the needs and the struggles that you're having?
And so do some of this crazy stuff together.
Well, and I hope that that's helpful to you. I'm going to do two things. I'm going to send you Dave's book, Smart Love. I'm going to also send you The Mediterranean Love Plan, and I want you to show that book to him. And I want you to say to him, hey, and we could even start with chapter 7 here, which is all about intimacy, physical intimacy, sexual intimacy. If you go through all 13 things, and every chapter has 13 things to do, you do these things and you'll be in love with me again. You won't be out there messing around, and we won't have to split up all of our assets, and you won't have to be a man who didn't live up to his commitment. And in the Smart Love, it introduces some men for the first time to what is known as emotional intelligence. And what is the emotionally intelligent thing to do? And emotions that are intelligent start from the neck up, not the waist down. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with more New Life Live right after this. A lot of men get confused, and I'll tell you, it's not easy getting older when you wonder, can I still be a man with all these limitations? Am I more than just what I accomplished or the money I made? Was I just a role? All that stuff. But
he's probably questioning all those things.
No, yes, but you can answer those questions without looking like a fool and doing foolish things. We'll be back right after this.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip. And that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at TV.NewLife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Terry McIntosh with a couple of things we want you to know about. We have an app for your smartphone or tablet. It allows you to live stream New Life Live and catch up on archived programs. We also can read articles, and there are short audio and video teachings as well. Just go to newlife.com and look for the download the app link. It's at the bottom of the homepage. And if you're battling with drug or alcohol addiction, New Life can help connect you to the treatment you need. And if someone you care about is refusing help, it might be time to schedule an intervention. We can help you with that too. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 639-5433 to find out more about treatment and interventions. Steve?
Thank you, Terry. Anybody that needs help with anything, we've got people that are waiting to talk to you at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Just give them a call. Let's go to our final caller, Sandra, Houston, Texas, KWRD. That's where she listens. Hi, Sandra. How are you today?
Hi, Doctor. Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to you for over 30 years. I was in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Then I moved to Texas, so I'm very grateful. I've read your book, Boundaries.
Thanks for taking us to Texas with you. Yeah.
I'm calling today because I'm 56 years old, and I moved here. I'm pretty sure my mother is a narcissist, and so I've got. I've been here in Texas for 10 years. I moved here to join her. She was raising my nephew, and I'm calling for. Two reasons. One, I need some wisdom for myself, and the second is I need wisdom toward her.
Okay.
I've come to the conclusion the last few years that I am a codependent and an enabler. She divorced twice, once when I was 5 and once when I was 18, and I got a job to help support her and raise my siblings. And throughout the years, I've been there for her whenever she needed me. And I'm pretty much a utilitarian.
Okay, so I'm going to need you to get to a question pretty quick because we're at the end of the program here. So how could we help you with this? We get it.
So I've had a lifelong struggle with depression. And since I have been laid off, I have not had – I'm a workaholic, so – I've been having to face some things. So my question is, I've also struggled with suicide thoughts, and I did volunteer for a suicide helpline when I started to get those, which helped me tremendously. And I started telling my friends my struggles, which helped me.
Okay. How could we help you?
My question is, I need to know, even though she's softening up, how do I... she has these nice periods, and then I start to feel like things are okay. And this has happened for years.
Okay, so ask us a question that we can ask us a question so we can help you with it. What is it you really want to know?
What's a healthy, Christ-like way to deal with a person that has narcissism?
Okay, after a lot of years with her. Well,
yeah,
Jill, you want to start here with this? A mother that's a narcissist.
Yeah, well, Sandra, I think it's a very difficult situation. And as we've talked about before, you know, you've grown up in a situation where everything is about her or revolves around her. And so it sounds like you found your worth through kind of serving her and trying to meet her needs or get her approval. And that's left you very depressed, which often happens with people in this type of situation. So it's important, and it sounds like you're at the place of recognizing that she isn't going to change because she doesn't see the problem. You're meeting her needs. And so, you know, yes, there's these times where you feel like, oh, maybe she sees me. Maybe I am valuable to her. And then you get greatly disappointed. So you have to remind yourself of that this is just passing phases. And it's very cyclical in how they function. And so you have to get your validation elsewhere. And realize kind of what the limitations are of your mom, and then to divert that need, as I said, get those needs met elsewhere so that you aren't setting yourself up over and over again for that hurt, because that just causes more depression.
Well, it's also helpful to look at her as being a very fragile person that has very, very limited structure in terms of her who she is. So she can't really understand how her behavior is affecting you. And so you'll get random kinds of behavior. You'll get a behavior that's affirming, but then, and then you let your guard down, and it just kind of takes you right back to the same place. But if she appears to be strong, but she's not, and she is very fragile, and it's not that you have to kowtow to it. You just realize that you're not going to change anything. That's kind of the way she is, and it's the way she's going to be, and that's the entire story. And you'll never get what you need from her because she doesn't know how to give it. She doesn't know how to give you what you want.
Yeah, I think any kind of response that's expecting any kind of response isn't going to work.
Yeah.
But where you finally grieve the loss of a mother who, after all these years, just could never do it for you, would not ever. You know, I think it's – I kind of like picturing those folks in a wheelchair and like I even sometimes put their brain in a wheelchair. I have that image. And you can't expect them to run the 100-yard dash because they're in a wheelchair. And you can't expect them to meet your need emotionally. Another thing I do is I try to envision them at a cactus, you know, one of these big cactuses with their head on it. You're not going to get love, emotion, nurturing from a cactus. Just not going to do it. So you wouldn't go there. You'd go somewhere else. Other people, recovery groups, support groups, great friendships, women's Bible studies, that kind of place. Because mama doesn't have it to give.
She doesn't know how.
No. Okay, well, we're glad that you joined us. By the way, I mentioned earlier this great movie. I can only imagine. March 16th, that is the day that movie is going to be in theaters. Keep that in mind. It's a good one. And then also, if you are not doing anything other than going to the movies on March 16th, that's our Take Your Life Back workshop. I think you would really love it if you would, just come. And do it. Take it back. Fear, anger, shame, guilt, all the stuff that's been talked about here. Boy, we could help you with it at Take Your Life Back. Every Man's Battle's coming up. We've got a wonderful, wonderful life-changing experience for every man that comes. And then in July, we've got our marriage weekend again coming up. And that's going to be absolutely fantastic. If I talk about something, most likely, if you go to our website, I heard it on the radio. You'll find the details there. If you want to see a trailer of that movie, you could find that on our website, newlife.com, or you can go to the app, the New Life app, and it's all right there for you, including a place where you could support this ministry. We need your help so badly, and we always do. We always will, and we're your partner. And if you support us, then we're able to reach out and literally let God use us to transform someone's life. And we get to see it all the time. And we get to hear questions from people like what you heard today, someone that had never in 45 years shared the fact that she had had an abortion when she was in her 20s. Now, that is going to change her life. Just the fact that she felt it was safe enough to call us and get some help. Would you help us? 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. We love you. We appreciate you. I love and appreciate Jill and Dr. Dave. Thank you, guys. See you next time right here on New Life Live. But the number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.